All right, Rabosai, we find ourselves in Zion Amud Aleph on 7A. Good to see you again, Lonnie, Gloria, Toby. I assume Sadie, you're there somewhere. Judd, Arthur, oh, we got Oliver on, Phyllis, and Melissa. Okay, wonderful. I'm sure Erwin will be with us soon. I know he also was just running back from Mincha Maariv, so not a lot of time there. Okay. Previously, in our Gemara shiur, we established in the previous shiur that a sukkah requires two complete walls of seven tefachim, and ushlish is afilu tefach. The third one is just a tefach. And then we got into discussion at the end of yesterday, of last week, as to where to place that tefach. So one shita was keneged hayotze. You just, you know, if you have that right angle, so at the end of one of those two walls that's not adjacent, you would just stick it in over there. The other idea that we saw thrown around in the Gemara was keneged rosh tur. Maybe, you know, you have your right angle and then you put it over here, so it creates like an enclosure. You got the pictures in your Gemara, of course. And then the third and final suggestion we saw was to do a tefach shochek. Now, what's a tefach shochek? So we talked about that. And again, you could see it, at least in my Gemara, I don't know if it's different for yours, on Zion Amud Aleph, it's the fourth picture over there. The idea basically was that you had a tefach that was within three, it's like a wider tefach. It's like you'd measure like looser fingers. And then you put it just within like 2.9 tefach mark. So it's considered adjacent to one wall. And then you basically, through that, you've already covered four out of seven tefachim. And we say that since you have a majority of a wall, it's like we view it, the third wall, at least for the third wall, we view it as a complete wall. So those were the three ideas we saw last time. And now we're picking it up with Amar Rav Yehuda, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the top of Zion Amud Aleph. I would imagine it's still on the first page in Art Scroll. That would be my guess, maybe toward the end. Ah, we got a confirmation from Lonnie. Okay, so you have your coordinates, everyone. Amar Rav Yehuda. Here we go. Amar Rav Yehuda. Sukkah ha'asuya kemavoy kishera. Va'oso tevach ma'amidu l'chol ruach shigirtzeh. So a sukkah that's made like a mavoy. So mavoy, we talked about it in our first year in Shabbos. It's just a mavoy is like an alleyway. You have two walls. And now there's a whole discussion in the Rishon. Are we talking about a mavoy mefulash, which is completely open or not? We're not going to get too much bogged down, but that's important to note. So when you have two parallel walls, how do you turn that into a kosher sukkah? So basically, you could just put the tefach on either side that you want. Now that's a very liberal shita over here, because here, this is like worse than the other cases. The two real walls aren't even touching each other. So therefore, Rabbi Simon, Vitein Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, that would not be sufficient. Rather, what do you have to do in order to make a mavoy kosher for a sukkah? Otzelo pas arba umashahu umamido bapachos mishlosha samach ledofen bechol pachos mishlosha samach ledofen kalavadami. Here you would need to make a wall which is not one tefach, but it's a little over four tefachim, and then put that within three tefachim of the wall. Now,
you Rabbi, might, can I ask a question? I'm sorry. What about the height of that tefach?
I mean, 10 tefachim is the 10 tefachim.
Oh, it has to be, okay.
Yeah, good question, Phyllis. Right, you're correct. We're talking about width right now. But yes, in terms of the height, it would need to be 10 tefachim minimum to be considered a mechitza. Very good. Now the Gemara is going to ask, this sounds a little similar to the whole discussion we just had with Tavash Shokik, which was just one tefach. So Maisha Hassam, why in the case before did we say all you need is one tefach of real wall and then you could play with all the halachic imaginary mechanisms? But over here, the physical wall, it's not sufficient to be one tefach, but it needs to be four tefachim. Got the question? Yeah. What do we do with this incongruity? So hasam di ika shtei dafanos kil chasun sagile betefach shochik. Hacha delega shtei dafanos di ika pasar, but in ilola, what's the difference? The difference is that over here, over there, you had two walls that were connected properly. You're almost there. You just need to get a little more for a third wall. Here, you have a wall here, you have a wall there, but these two walls, there's nothing physically binding them together. You don't have a good foundation to build on over here. You're not starting from a good place. So therefore, we need, it's not sufficient to have one tefach and then play the whole game of lavud and majority, but rather you already need a majority of actual physical wall that if you were to bang into it, you would hurt yourself. It's really there. And then we could use lavud in order to be mashlin, in order to complete the rest of the seven tefachim, the last three tefachim that we need. That's the idea. Okay? Think relatively logical. I mean, it is logical. Any questions on that? Okay, good. Moving forward. Amar Rava. So now here is different ways to understand this section. The Gemara will just go with the following. Think of this as a fourth shita as to where we should place the tefach. So just what we just did at the beginning, think of that as like a parenthetical. What do you do when you have two parallel walls? Let's return back to our case, our initial case, in which both walls are already physically adjoining each other. So we had three approaches as to where you place the third tefach, the third tefach making the third wall. Here, think of this as a fourth shita. The issue is there's going to be three different versions of what Rava held about what to do with the tefach. So get ready for this. And this is really where you need to read very closely because, what do they say, the devil's in the details. Amar Rava, the Einani Teres Ella B'Tzuras HaPesach. Let's just remind ourselves briefly what a Tzuras HaPesach is. And at least in my Gemara, it's the on the right side, it's the final picture that you'll see. A Tzuras HaPesach is what you and I call an Erev, colloquially. Tzuras HaPesach is a door frame. And the whole idea of when we put that string, or actually in Stanford's case for the most part, we're using telephone wires, and then we put the lechi here, the lechi there, we're making a door frame. So that encloses an area. So what is Rav saying? Similar to how we have a concept Tzuras HaPesach on Shabbos. And if you're excited about learning a little bit about Hilchos Shabbos, don't worry, we're about to get there. It's gonna be a little bit of a mind bender. So Vayini Teres El B'Tzuras HaPesach, Rava says it's not sufficient just to have a tefach, but here's what you're supposed to do. Rashi explains, you're supposed to put a chati tefach etzel hayotze, but kanash chati tefach b'miksosha kenegdo. You can see this in the picture. You're basically splitting the tefach in half. You're going to have a half a tefach, right? So you probably have the picture in your Gemara, but I'm going to try to show this to you, right? So you have the two walls over here. So then you're going to put basically half a tefach here and half a tefach here. And you're going to put the line over, you're going to put the string or whatever you're using over those two tefachim that are set half tefachim. And that will create a door frame, which will count as a wall. It's that's what Rav is saying. That's what you do with the third tefach. That's one possibility of what Rava said. Ika da amre, amar Rava, niteres, nami b'tzuras ha-pesach. That Rava was saying that this is another option. In other words, you can either qualify for the third wall by putting a tefach down, like we described in earlier cases, or alternatively, you could dispense with the need for a tefach altogether if you create a Tzuras HaPesach. And what that means is that the Tzuras HaPesach on both ends doesn't even need to be a Chati Tefach. It could be a Kol Shehin. It could be a Mashahu. What exactly is a Mashahu? Like, is it, you know, just like a layer of paint? Is that enough? There's like a discussion about that in Hilchos Erevin. But you don't even need a Tefach. This could work as a second option in lieu of a Tefach, should you so desire. That is the second version of Rava. And the third and final one, Ika da'amri amar Rava, utzricha nami tzuras ha-pesach. The other shita is that Rava is saying, not only do you need a full bonafide tefach, But in addition to the tefach, to make this lone tefach work, it's not just enough to imagine it with lavan and this and that to connect it, but you also need some kind of physical recognition that they are connected. And so you make a tzuras ha-pesach in addition to placing that tefach down. So those are the three versions of Rava. One is you do a tzuras ha-pesach, you could use a tzuras ha-pesach, or you also need a tzuras ha-pesach. So, and you could see that, people who are in shir that day, listening to Rava give shir on Maseches Sukkah, it's very possible that little detail, could be up for dispute about what Rava actually said. But one word can really change the course of everything, as we see. Okay, but let's figure out what does Rava actually hold. Well, the following story will be a case in point. Rav Ashi Ashkechei l'Rav Kahana, the Ka'ovid Tefach Shochei, there's a difference in girsa whether the term Shochei is there or not, but we'll leave it in. The Ka'ovid Tefach Shochei, the Ka'ovid Tzuras HaPesach. So Rav Kahana was making a sukkah, and he did the Tefach Shochei method. Remember, you have the Tefach, a slightly bigger Tefach, which is using lavud to connect to the wall. And in addition to it, he also did a Tzuras HaPesach. So Amar Le, Lo Sever Mar, Laha De Rava, Dama Rava, Veniteres Nani Tzuras HaPesach. Do you not hold like Rava, who says that you can also do a Tzuras HaPesach? Why are you doing a Tefach and a Tzuras HaPesach? Amar Le, Ana Ki Idach Lishna De Rava, Sfir Li, Dama Rava, Tzricha Nami Tzuras HaPesach. Because I hold like the third and final version of Rava, that's what I think is the authoritative one, that in addition to a Tefach, I also need a Tzuras HaPesach. So, that's the end of that piece, but there's just it's good to know about this, not just for Hilchos Sukkah, but practically again in Hilchos Shabbos, when we're talking about Eiruvin, there's a debate about sometimes you'll walk by the telephone poles. I know, Arthur, I know I'm preaching to the choir over here, right? Arthur, you're like one of the grand architects, my understanding. So when you have a lechi, you have sometimes they use the pipe, sometimes they use a slab of wood. There's a question about how thick it needs to be. So it might just have to be a mashahu, just a little bit. But then we get into debate about what a little bit is. But again, there's a lot of cross-referencing between the Hilchos Erev and Hilchos Shabbos, and also Hilchos Sukkah. But don't take it from me. Don't take it from the Gemara. The next piece in the Gemara is going to very explicitly compare, contrast Shabbos and Sukkah by asking, what do we do in a case when we have Shabbos to Sukkos? What happens when Sukkos and Shabbos, right? You're going to have a day that Sukkot and Shabbos do coincide with each other. It's even biblically just 7 days. You're going to have Sukkot and Shabbos coincide. So the question is, what do I do? Shabbos has certain chumras, has certain idiosyncrasies as to how do you enclose an area on Shabbos. Sukkot has certain idiosyncrasies as well, as we've been going through. So what happens when you have Sukkot and Shabbos on the same day? Now, generally, Think about it in our tefillah. In our tefillah, what do? Well, we acknowledge both Sukkot and Shabbos. So it's not like they neutralize each other and then we get away without having to say any additional prayers, but actually we just do prayers for Shabbos. Think about Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. You wind up just saying more because of the confluence of both of them. So here's the funny thing we're about to see, and I'll explain at the end why this is the case. It would seem that when Shabbos and Sukkos coincide with each other, we actually will adopt the leniencies of both Shabbos and Sukkos as to what constitutes a wall. Okay, that's the background. Let's get into the Gemara. Here we go. Amar Rava, v'chein l'Shabbos. Likewise, on Shabbos and Sukkos that coincide, Migu da havya dofen le'inyan sukkah, havya dofen le'inyan Shabbos. So remember, this whole entire time, last week and everything we learned until now, we've been talking about the magic of sukkah, that all you need is two walls, and then you just have to throw in a tefach. Now, where that tefach goes, okay, that was our previous sugya, but one tefach suffices for a third wall. Now that's remarkable because in Hilchos Shabbos, that's not going to fly. In Hilchos Shabbos, you need three walls to enclose an area. So what is Rava saying? Rava saying is, but since this is Shabbos to Sukkos, therefore what constitutes an enclosed sukkah for sukkah purposes also will be legitimate in terms of treating it as a private domain, as Rosh HaYachid, that you wouldn't violate the issue of tiltul of moving it on Shabbos. There's like three different shitas in Rishonim about Dereisa, Derabanan. Like my head was spinning just going through all the different combinations. So we're just going to keep it straightforward. Okay. So this is remarkable. It's almost like we're down, and it's basically what we're doing. We're downgrading the standard that we have on every other Shabbos of the year as to what's considered a private enclosed area. And we're conforming it to Sukkos, which has a more lenient, at least in this area, a more lenient concept of what's considered an enclosed area for Sukkos. However, Abaye is not satisfied with this. Of course, Abaye is not satisfied, right? A Rav and Abaye are Bali Plukta. That's their job. Isve Abaye, because Abaye cites the following brisa. Umriya Rinan Migo, can I really say, what's the concept of Migo here? Migo, basic, can be used in different ways sometimes. The term Migo over here is just the general principle. You know what? Actually, good. I need to find this term now because I'll shorthand reference to it. We're talking about a concept called Migo here. Migo is the principle that Rav is using. He's extrapolating that the same way the walls count for Sukkos, they also count for Shabbos of Sukkos as well. That's the Migo concept. Any questions? Just I'm gonna keep referring to that term. Got it? You write that down. Okay. Good. Omiyamina Migo. Do we really say Migo? Does that work? Vahatanya Dofen Sukkah Kidofen Shabbos. So in general, Sukkah and Shabbos, they share the same parameters when it comes to creating a wall. You've probably seen, it was especially popular during COVID, if you have a bunch of lines going around the Sukkah, as long as they're within three tefachim of each other, then it constitutes a wall. If you have like the ropes going around your sukkah, rope here, less than three tefachim, another rope, less than three tefachim, another rope until you hit 10 tefachim. So then that is considered legitimate. And then the Yisera Shabbos al sukkah, and Shabbos though has a chumrah, has a stringency that makes it more difficult than sukkahs. Shahash Shabbos eina niteres ela ba'omed meruba al haparot. Shabbos is only going to work if the majority of the space actually is physically covered. Masha ain't came but sukkah. However, for sukkah, it's unique. Sukkah, even in theory, if there's a few gaps in the initial two walls and you wind up with 51% airspace, if you count it all up together, it would still be okay. So my lav, Yisera Shabbos to Sukkah Asukkah v'lo Amrin Amigo. Abaye wants to say that the implication of this brisa is that Shabbos will always have stricter parameters than Sukkos. And since the brisa only contrasted Shabbos versus Sukkos, we assume that Shabbos that coincides with Sukkos also will still have stricter parameters, which would contradict Rava's principle of Migo, in which he's trying to extrapolate the lenient dinim of Sukkos to Shabbos. However, Rava would respond, "Lo yisera Shabbos da alma al Shabbos to Sukkah." So, what are we talking about here? We're contrasting Shabbos da alma, general Shabbos, versus Shabbos to Sukkos. That's the distinction over here. Okay, that's the distinction. Ihachi, but then Abaye asks back, Ihachi, listening nami yisera sukkah de alma asukkah de Shabbos. If this is true, that we can make a migo and get the leniencies from Sukkos to Shabbos, shouldn't it go the other way also? That when Sukkos and Shabbos coincide with each other, that we could extrapolate the leniencies from Shabbos that to the leniencies of to Shabbos on Sukkos, it should be a two-lane street, right? Let's get the leniencies of Shabbos and apply it to Shabbos and Sukkos as well. The Sukkah de Alma by Tefach Shochek. Because as we said, remember the case of the Mavoi, the two parallel walls? Whereas when it comes to Sukkos, when you have two parallel walls, you have a Mavoi, you need a Tefach Shochek. You need to do that whole maneuver of having the Tefach, that's a wider one within three Tefachim of the wall in order to make the Mavoi kosher. But it should be a two-lane street. In Hilchos Shabbos, when you have a Mavoi, all you need is a Lechi right at the edge of one of the two parallel walls. You don't need to put a Tefach between the two walls and do play the whole game at Tefach Shochek. So Abai is saying, Rav, if your principle of Migu is true, why is the Braisa only teaching it to us one way? It should teach it to us both ways. Don't just extrapolate the leniencies of Sukkah to Shabbos. Extrapolate the leniencies of Shabbos to Sukkah as well when they coincide. So Rava says, yes, in Hachinami, that is true. We do also extrapolate the leniencies of Shabbos to Sukkah. But how low istrachale? But the Braisa didn't have to go out of its way to teach us that. I would know that that was obvious. How would I know that's obvious? Hashta mikilsa lechamirsa amrinan mecharmisa lekilsa lekol shekin. If I'm able to extrapolate the leniencies from Sukkos, if you violate Sukkos, you're not going to get skila, you're not going to get stoning the same way you would get if you violate Shabbos. Shabbos is the most chumah. Remember back in Megillah days, we were talking about how many aliyahs you get. And basically, like a good rule of thumb for figuring out how sanctified and how severe a day is in the eyes of God is to, just like as a siman, look at how many aliyahs you have. So Shabbos is the top of the list. We have seven aliyahs on Shabbos. That's the maximum. That's because, also because Shabbos carries the heaviest punishment if you violate it. So therefore, if I'm willing to be more lenient on my standards of Hilchos Shabbos when it coincides with Sukkos, Kal vachomer, I'm going to be able to extrapolate the leniencies from Shabbos to and conform that to Sukkos. So that's the point that Rava is making. That's the idea of the Migu. All right, let me deep breath. Any questions on that part? Okay. I had to read through this a few times, just like my mind was. I'll tell you, there's like a few questions that could pop into your head. One issue that's dealt with, I think this is dealt with in Tosus on the next page on Zion and Bays, is that the whole concept of putting a lechi on a mavoi is probably, like, seems to be on a derabbanan level. Generally, what's the issue of a mavoi? A mavoi really is a private domain on a doraisa level, because the mavoi is really just opening up to different chatzeros. But came along the rabbis and said, you need to do a sheet of mavos, you need the box of matzahs, and you need to put either a korah on top or a lechi on the side so that you can recognize, people will be cognizant and realize that they shouldn't be carrying between there and Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So the whole idea of a lechi is only a durabanan standard. If so, the question is asked, how can I extrapolate from something that only works, that operates on a derabbanan level in Shabbos, to be machshir, to legitimize the dimensions of a sukkah that operates on a deoraisa level, on a biblical level? So that's a question that the Rishonim's address. My head was starting to spin as I was looking at all the different approaches, but you can look at Tosa on the next page. But I'm just bringing that question to your attention. There's another question I wanted to address. Now, let me throw the question out right now, and then we'll return to it right at the end of the Gemara. The other question that should be bothering us about this is as follows. Why is it that when Shabbos and Sukkos coincide, we adopt the lowest common denominator? If anything, when Shabbos and Sukkos coincide, you would think we would adopt the highest, like we would take the chumras from both Shabbos and from Sukkos and combine them together. Again, not the best example, but just something we're familiar with. When you have Shabbos and Sukkos, they don't, you don't make davening shorter. It makes davening longer. So, it makes things more chumor. So why is it when it comes to these halachos, we seem to go for the lowest common denominator? You hear the question? Good. Hold on to that question for a moment. That's what bothered me a lot when I was reading this. I found some answers, but I want to finish the Gemara first. We'll circle back to it in just a moment. Gufa, last few lines on the last three words on the page. Gufa. Gufa means we're returning back to a discussion referenced. So Amar Rava. Rava taught us three things. Sichich al gabe mavoy, sheish lo lechi ksheira. If you put schach on top of a mavoy, that has a lechi, it is kosher. So again, this is talk, and we're going to be talking about Shabbos of Sukkot when they coincide. The Amar Rava, sichich al gabe pase biros ksheira. Ah, back to our good friend pase biros. I think, I remember last, when we talked about this last time, I think Zadie, Toby, possibly others had things to say about it. You can actually see a nice picture of it now in the top left. If you look in the, at least in the standard page of the Gemara, it should have it in yours. So you see the, you see all those, right? The four corners, each one is, right? So it encloses the area. So that also, if you put schach on top of it, just a quick reminder, the whole idea of it was that people wanted to draw water on Shabbos, and it was an issue of tiltul. So basically, they enclosed the area, so it wouldn't be an issue of carrying the water in that area. So that's how they were machshir water fountains on Shabbos back then. That's essentially what they were dealing with. Now, why does Rava need to tell me both dinim? A, that schach on top of a mavoy with a lechi is kosher, and B, schach on top of pase biros is kosher. So each one wouldn't have been obvious on its own. Utsricha, the iash meina mavoi mishum diga shtei defanos malayasa. Mavoi is superior to pasibiros because even though the mavoi, its walls don't touch each other, they're not contiguous. Nonetheless, you have two bona fide full walls over there, two bona fide mechitzas. Avagai pasibiros the lake shtei defanos malayasa imalo. Pasibiros though is lacking two real walls. So I would think maybe Pasi Biros would not be sufficient. Kamash Milan, that's what Rava was coming to teach us. The Yashmi and Pasi Biros, had Rava only taught me the din that Skach could be put on top of Pasi Biros, I would say Mishum Deikasham Arba Defanos. I'd say because there's four walls, it's an enclosed area. But you put on top of a Mavoy, Deikasham Arba Defanos, sure you have two walls, but where are the other four walls? Aim low, I would think not. Kamash Milan, Rava needed to teach us, you can put schach on top of a mavoi with alechi as well. And the I ashma inan hani tarti, and had Rava only taught these two dinim, I would still only think mechamirsa lekilsa. I would think only I could take the leniencies that exist in Hilchos Shabbos and apply it to Hilchos Sukkos. I'm a kilsa chamirsa, aim low. But I wouldn't know that I could apply the idea of a tefach, counting as a third wall from Sukkos to Shabbos, because Sukkot is more lenient than Shabbos. So Tzricha, therefore Rava had to teach us the final din, which is the first thing we learned from Rava at the beginning of this sugya, that we can extrapolate the leniencies from Sukkot to Shabbos when they coincide together. Adkan the Gemara, okay? Now, back to our question, right? You're going to hold me to that? Back to our question. What business do we have extrapolating kulas? Right? We're not looking for leniencies. We should have chumras, right? We love chumras. So the Ran addresses this question. You probably not in the art scroll, but if you have like standard, like one of these Oz V'Hadar Gemaras, or I'm sure the Vilna also and others, it's in the back. Does anyone need time to turn to the page? Or if not, then okay. I'll tell you what it says. So the Ran asks the same question. And this is the Ran's, I mean, others ask it. The Ran asks, we should really be learning the chumras from both of them. So the Ran answers, Elakach ani omer, shekevan shahatora pirsha michitzo seshul sukkah. When the Torah was explaining to us about the laws of Sukkot, the efshar l'shivasi me sukkah below Shabbos. God's pretty smart, to put it in very mild terms, right? God knew when he declared that the Jewish people should keep 7 days of Sukkot, that Shabbos would be one of those days. So when God was telling us how to make a kosher sukkah. He wasn't just telling us how to make a kosher sukkah for six out of those 7 days. The expectation, it doesn't make sense that the expectation would be that you would have to do something in addition to what God is telling you to make a kosher sukkah. They do something extra special for Shabbos for it. Shemi darka shel Torah shetitin hechsher she'ino maskel chol zman. If God is telling me this is how you create a kosher sukkah, the implication is this is how, and he's also telling me you have to make this sukkah for 7 days. The implication is this is the kosher way to make a sukkah for all 7 days, which of course includes Shabbos. So that's why we would be left with such an impression. That's what the Ran says.
Why not just assume the other way around?
What do you mean?
That you have to make this, like in order to make it okay, you would have to make what's acceptable for Shabbos for the whole 7 days.
Well, then then everything we learned about the whole Tefach Sugya would be garnished. So what's the whole point of the Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai? What's the point of all these limudim that we did? We could just, you know, tear out, you know, the page of the Gemara that we did the past week or two.
Well, where in the Torah are these dimensions?
So, well, we spent some time, but you're saying on the, not the tenth fach, and you're asking about the two walls and the third wall,
yeah,
right?
Where in the Torah is that?
Let's go back to how we got it in the Gemara. How do we get it in the Gemara? Maybe turn a lot of pages over here. It's okay. So we got it from, if you remember, if you look at Vav and Beis on 6b, there are two possible psukim it comes from. One was basukos, basukos, basukos. Remember, we had the three instances of sukos. Only one of them had a vav. Do we evaluate based on how it's read or how it's written, right? And then there was one other possibility, which was the pasuk at the end of that sugya. Sukkot Yelitzil, Yoma Mechorev, etc. How Tosis explained that over there. So it's, if you want the psukim in the Torah, it doesn't say explicitly three walls, one of them being a tefach, but it is derived hermeneutically from Vayikra Perichav Gimel Psukim Mem Beis through Mem Gimel. Okay, and I'm not going to go through all of it right now because that was last week's share. But it's, yes, that's where it comes from in the Torah. But as we well know, we've been learning Gemara together for a while. Many things are not explicitly said in the Torah, but that's why we have our good friends, the rabbis, who interpret and help us understand what God meant by it.
Then I would consider it the Rabbanim.
Well, that's not how the halachic system works, though.
Yeah.
The halachic system understands that these are d'oraisa dinim, the same way as the 39 malachos are considered d'oraisa, even though the rabbis were megala, they revealed for us what they were. All right. But
I have another question. I mean, with regard to, you know, carrying inside a sukkah on Shabbos, what about your home? Let's say, I mean, people who are living in tents, out, you know, for whatever reason, they're in refugee camps or whatever it is, and all they've really got are some poles stuck in the ground and a tarp over it, and there are really no walls. And this is their home. So what happens to them on Shabbos?
I mean, I don't know what to do. You know, obviously when you're dealing with shas and chak cases, you could start weighing if something's a derabanan, or if you have one person carry, if you carry less than dalad amos, and then do less than dalad amos, do it together with someone else. There's different concoctions that rabbanim, you know, that we can come up.
And I guess what I'm getting at is that you would think that if something is your home, then you can carry it inside your home.
As we said, generally a home is an enclosed area, but I understand. That would be a shas al chak, but I mean, this is the definition of Rishus HaYachid. It's the definition of Rishus HaYachid. But remember, we just saw that passe biros about the four corners. You know, Chazal even figured out certain methods for enclosing areas that aren't typical, but were necessary. So passe biros is a good example. I'm sure even in a refugee camp, they could put some wooden slabs together and do that. But I guess they'll call their local Orthodox rabbi there. All right. One other idea, just from the Birchas Avram. he actually he mentions the Rif and the Ran, they actually reject this. But there is a Shita and Rishonim, that actually says that that which works for Shabbos works actually for all of Sukkos. It goes the opposite way. Not only do the leniency of Shabbos apply on when Shabbos Sukkos coincide, but it would actually apply for all 7 days of Sukkos. If it's legitimate for Shabbos of Sukkos, it's legitimate for all 7 days of Sukkos. They reject it, but just a little tidbit to be aware of.
That was kind of what I said.
So you're
my what I was suggesting at the beginning?
Okay. Oh, sorry. My mistake if I didn't understand your point. So, okay, you're mechaving to the Shita cited by the Ritva and others that they ultimately reject, but but it was worthy of consideration. Someone held that. I don't know who I have to look in the Ritva and see who he attributes it to. I think the Ran also. I just didn't see that part. Avakol panim gamim l'chol asukas hadin cholak be Shabbos istarshli tarti desasi bosos man. Ah, this is a very good halacha note for this time of year. You guys ever know what the issue, you know, like the infamous issue with 7 o'clock minyanim during the summer? Do you know what the halachic issue is? I should be careful. We have a 7 o'clock mincha minyan at shul on Shabbos. So the issue is that it's called a tarte de sasri. It's an internal contradiction. According to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the cutoff point between mincha and marv is plag ha-mincha, which is an earlier point. And the cutoff according to Rabbanah is shkia, sunset. That's where you call mincha marv. The issue with the 7 o'clock minyan is that you're davening mincha at a later point, according to the Rabbanan, after plag, but you're also davening marv earlier before shkia, which fits according to Rabbi Yehuda. So you shouldn't really be able to have it both ways. You should either push mincha earlier, or you should push marv later after shkia. So that's called a tarti desasri, internal contradiction. Why do I bring that up? I bring it up because, I mean, in our case, if we didn't do it, maybe we want to get a minion altogether. So, you know, the numbers aren't too impressive. So maybe that's why we do it. But Mistar Shalia Tarti Desasi Bosu's Man. The idea is that you when you have Shabbos and Sukkos together, if they don't share some kind of common denominator, then it would be a tarti desasri. It doesn't make sense that it would only work for Sukkos and not for Shabbos. The whole idea is we're trying to determine what is considered a private enclosed area. You can't tell me it counts as a private enclosed area for Sukkos and not for Shabbos, because then there's something missing in the definition of it being considered a private enclosed area. We need consistency. Both Shabbos and Sukkos are trying to accomplish the same goal, define a private enclosed area. So if it's going to work for one area of halacha, it should work for another. One interesting point he cites in the Pnei Yehoshua, the Aruch HaNer, raises a question: Shistabek im gam legabe klaim hanihach migo lahashib alechi otepik the sukkah. We know that you need to separate either distance-wise or create a wall to separate different species from intermingling, because then you have an issue of klaim, of mixed breeding different plants and species together. So the question is, what if you don't have a full physical wall, but it's sukkahs? And on Sukkos, can you suffice with like a Tefach concert? Can you start playing games like this? So the Aruch HaNer raises a question: could this work even though it's on a physical wall? Would it count for Klayim as well? Anyway, I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole, but he does address the question. We are 45 minutes in at 9 o'clock, even though we start a few minutes late. I raised the question at the beginning. Whether we should start next week, basically. I mean, Mincha is still going to get a little bit later until it starts getting earlier again. So 8:15 doesn't really make sense. I'd have to push it to 8:30, or the alternative is to do it at 7 o'clock or 7:15, even depending how much we want to squish it in. So let me know your preference. The 7 or 7:15 sound like a better candidate. Should we?
Yes.
7. Which yeah. one? Which one? 7
or 7. Either way, I mean.
7 or 8:30, should those be the two options?
Yeah.
I think 7 o'clock so we can get to Mincha on time.
I would do it at the shul up, probably. I'd probably do it at the shul, but okay, fine. So here's your homework, guys. You could think on this one. You could send me an email just so I can have all the votes down so I could tally it up. Let me know starting next week, and I guess, you know, for the coming weeks until this mod changes again. Do you prefer to have this year 7 o'clock before Mincha Maariv or 8:30 following Mincha Maariv? Okay, send me an email.
I vote for 7.
All right, it's hard for me to tally it all right now. So if you do, just when you have a free moment, just shoot me an email what your vote is, 7 or 8:30. I'll tally it all up, and then I'll email everyone together the decision based on democracy. Right? It won't be a rigged election. Everything's kosher, Lumahadrin. Okay, beautiful. All right, take care, everyone. Wishing you all a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You too. Bye. Thank you.